The funeral is about to begin, sir. Welcome to the world of terror.
Welcome to a preview of Now Playing's Phantasm retrospective series.
It's a dream.
No, it's not.
Hosted by Arnie.
I've been waiting for you for a very long time.
Jacob.
Welcome home, boy.
And Stuart.
You have no one but me.
As our thank you for your support of Now Playing, our hosts will be watching and reviewing all the Phantasm films.
You think that when you die, you go to heaven. You come to us.
These podcasts contain detailed plot spoilers and harsh language.
This won't hurt a bit.
Well, maybe just a little bit.
Listener discretion is advised.
It's time now, boy. And so it begins.
Hello, Now Playing listeners. This is Arnie and Stuart.
And Jacob.
The podcast host with balls. Big silver balls. With spikes coming out of them. Because we're reviewing the Phantasm series. And we are up to Phantasm 4, Oblivion. It got the whole cast back together. Reggie, Mike, Don Coscarelli behind the scenes. And the three of us had a good time talking about it. Here's a clip from that show. All right, so and another thing that's pointed out, the only way that Mike can stop this transformation that's happening to him is to find out where the tall man came from. So when he's driving away with the silver eyes, he's trying to find the tall man's home world. Or he's trying to travel through time because he will see where the tall man came from in the form of Jebediah Morningside.
Right.
But how he's getting to these places seems truly happenstance. He just stumbles around and is like, oh, posts. I'll walk through them.
Yeah, he's going to drive to the desert and there's going to be some posts that he'll walk through.
I don't think it's random at all. It's everything within driving distance of Los Angeles.
Yes, the Death Valley, yeah.
Yeah, we get downtown right by La Brea Tar Pits, downtown Beverly Hills in here. It's very much an LA-focused world.
Kudos to them getting a shot of downtown LA with no cars in it and no people in it.
That shot blew my mind. I'm like, how did this production manage to close Wilshire Boulevard down to get this shot?
Sunday mornings, nobody's there.
Technically Thanksgiving morning, right at sunrise, and they all had to duck when the cops came by because they didn't have a permit.
No permits, okay.
Yeah, I figured with this kind of budget, they're, again, it brings them back to their original roots. I kind of like that. I'm going to go ahead and say, I like the fact that we've returned to the we got nothing but our own creativity sensibilities of the first film, finally.
There is something to be said about that. That said, I don't know if it's the Blu-ray transfer or what, but the very beginning of this film is incredibly pixelated. And this was filmed on real film. We weren't at the digital video point yet, but I can't explain why when I see the CUDA headlights cutting through the night, I'm seeing little blocks of pixels, and I tried on two different screens. And this is the new Arrow remastered high-end Blu-ray. I'm like, this is not looking great.
It must be that transfer. I did not have that problem watching it on DVD.
Oh, well, there we go. That's what I get for buying a high-end expensive set. And speaking of looking bad, what about those CGI balls?
Yeah, it's a step down. I mean, you could complain about the wires, but I really like the practical effects. I do lament that we have to have these superimposed CGI things.
I guess it makes sense now that I hear that there's only $600,000 to make this. But yeah, when you catch up with Reggie and he's covered in those balls, I'm like, oh, he's dead from last time. Well, here, no, they're going to let him go for some reason because the tall man wants to mess with them, I guess. So you get all those balls like flying off of him where you get that subpar CGI shot, whatever. I'm willing to let it go with this film. But you get all these balls going out into the world. I'm like, oh, we're going to see some mass carnage. I didn't know about the $600,000 budget, but that's never coming back. I guess those balls have just been let free to go wherever they may roam.
One thing Coscarelli tried to do, and I don't know if this is the result of budget or truthfully the feedback he got, but he got some negative feedback from fans on part three who said the cast was too expanded. There were just too many people there with Tim and Rocky and the zombies and everything else. And so he intentionally tried to scale back to a core group of characters, which is great because that's all he could afford.
Yeah, I don't know if that's creative. I think that's necessity. And these are the friends. These are the long-term players.
And I think he could have scaled back even more because as much as I've been the champion of Reggie for the first three films, I finally get what you're saying, Stuart. Reggie could have been cut from this film, right? It's weird because after you see Mike driving through the desert, doing all the flashbacks, you get Reggie narrating the backstory again. You could cut him from this film and it would make very little difference. He isn't needed here.
No, I don't know that he's ever been needed. You know, he's our point of view character. He's the funny one. He's the one with the most personality.
Not in this one.
Of these three, he definitely is. But I'll say this, by bringing it back to the core group of characters, we get more of a sense of their camaraderie. There's no real reason why Reggie stays in this movie other than he really cares about Mike and what's going to happen to him. Although he gets this one weird scene where he tells the Jody ghost, I'm not going to help out, and then he changes his mind.
That entire scene with the Jody ghost is really hysterical to me. And it's because Reggie's like, you said you'd see me later. Well, I needed you sooner. You know, just trying to retcon the end of how it's not meshing up. And then, no, I'm not going to help. He's going to spend the rest of the movie driving the direction Jody tells him. And the thing you have to understand is they need to fill up some running time, and they look at what is core Phantasm.
A lot of running time.
By this point, they're in part four. The shocker to me is that Reggie ended up being a major character because he was such a minor player in part one. He was driving an ice cream truck. He played a little guitar. He showed up at the end to say, hey, the girls escaped, but we couldn't afford to film that. And so I'm just going to tell you. And then he was stabbed and killed. And then we have that twist ending, but that he came back and was one of the co-stars of part two when they didn't even bring a Michael Baldwin back, that shocked me. So I think that it makes sense to have a Reggie story here, but nothing he does has any impact on this arc. You are exactly right. I mean, if you went Garfield without Garfield and erased Reggie from every shot of this movie, the plot would play out exactly the same.
I guess we could discuss what he does, but like he'll have a run-in with a zombie cop. Again, I guess the tall man said he's going to mess with him. Why not just kill him right away? Why bore us with this zombie cop that conveniently lays across the top of his car so Reggie could pull the trigger on a shotgun and kill him? None of this stuff mattered.
You know what? He's still auditioning to be Bruce Campbell. You know,
yeah, blow me. Oh, he's bad. I finally get what you're saying, Stuart. He's bad in this.
Yeah, and you know, eating all the yellow goo that falls in his mouth. A lot of the gross out humor that Raimi is so effortless in delivering. This is not an effortless movie. This is always trying to play catch up with Evil Dead 2 and what Raimi is doing.
And they don't give Reggie a chance to be heroic. I mean, the tall man comes in. I'm just going to let you free for a game because I want to have you in this movie. I could kill you 18 different ways, but I'm just going to let you go. That is bad writing.
Yeah, and we'll find out later that all of these creatures have a real Achilles heel that if you have a tuning fork, you can just knock them out of the picture. Maybe they do that here. Maybe Reggie escapes at the beginning using the tuning fork. We don't have to do that awkward thing in the middle.
And it would be a great way to discover this since they've never had the tuning fork thing before. If, say, he was struggling and it just happened to fall out of his pocket and ding, and they all just fall to the ground, then he's discovered something that would help him in a Legend of Zelda type way and had Chekhov's tuning fork. But I guess they feel they set that up in part one, and they do show a clip of part one with him with the tuning fork again to set that all up.
Let's just face it, a lot of this is filler. In fact, maybe 90% of this is filler. Reggie is here having miscellaneous adventures, episodic adventures. You guys don't like him. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, they just played no part in the greater story. They're not funny when he tries to make jokes. They're poorly set up. Like I said, that zombie cop only lays across the roof of the car so he gets shot. Later, when him and Jennifer are in a hotel, for some reason, because I know it's going to get used at some point, there's a sledgehammer just sitting in the background. It's just, when things just stick out this much, this tells me it's bad, and they don't have enough story here. They don't have natural reasons for a sledgehammer to be in a scene.
And if you want to hear more about Oblivion, please join us. You can do that by going to nowplayingpodcast.com. There's a banner at the top of the page. Click it. It'll give you all the details on how you can become a donor to Now Playing and save us from Oblivion.
Phantasm is a silver level donation. Just $10 or more gets you reviews of all 5 Phantasm films. This is a series we're doing because listeners demanded it. We're hoping that you guys come out and support it so that when we're looking at series to do in the future, we know what you guys enjoy listening and what you guys will support. And really exciting, in just 2 weeks, we're coming back to the Child's Play series for the playing level donation, or anyone who ever donated for Child's Play in the past, be it in 2010, 2013, or through our 5th anniversary DVD-ROM, Brock Stewart and I are going to be talking about Cult of Chucky.
Yep, and there are other levels too. For gold level, we're going to hell, and it may tear my soul apart. But Hellraiser, which is at least 9 installments, teasing a 10th, we'll cover it if it comes out. But yeah, come on. The 9 podcasts on top of the 5 Phantasm podcasts, that's a lot of hours of good horror movie listening.
And if you want more, there is the Platinum level where you're going to get 3 Jeepers Creepers on top of Hellraiser and Phantasm.
These are available through the classic method where you donate to us and you get a password to access the shows, or you can head to our Podbean patron page where you can get these reviews through the patron campaign, as well as exclusive bonus reviews. Next week, we're releasing Get Out, and then a few weeks after that, Lego Batman for Justice League, and you get all the ones we've done in the past. The Warriors, Coherence, Monster Trucks, Galaxy Quest,
Hook.
You can find the details about all of this at nowplayingpodcast.com/donate. And remember, it is your support that keeps us on the air. Thank you to everyone who's donated. Thank you to all of our patrons. If you're thinking about donating, now's the time. And we'll talk to you Tuesday with our review of Death Wish 3. We'll talk to you then.
Good game, boy. But the game is finished. Now you die.
Support from listeners like you is what keeps Now Playing able to podcast week after week.
I have plans to make things better for everyone. Just stay out of my way. Let the plan complete itself.
Playing is produced and edited by Artie Carvalho.
Cut me down, boy!
The film discussed in this podcast and all audio clips and music used are the property of their respective copyright holders, and no infringement is intended. This podcast has not been prepared, approved, or licensed by any entity that created or produced the well-known Phantasm films. Now Playing is an independent movie review podcast with no affiliation with any company involved in the publishing, creating, or distribution of that film series.
Use your brain, boy.
The opinions expressed on Now Playing are those of the individual hosts and may not reflect the opinion of Venganza Media Incorporated.
You brought this on yourself. You were an unwanted pawn in the game. Ah, your tenacity has amused me, and I've enjoyed your despair. But my use for you is at an end, or not even real. You're my bad dream.
Now Playing is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2017. All rights reserved. And no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
It's all over.
It's never over.